The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And welcome all of our listeners this morning. Glad to have you on board here for the show. We have a very good show for you this morning. We have Jim McGrath. He is the City of Pittsfield's Park, Open Space, and Natural Resource Program Manager. We also have Rhonda Sayre. She's the Ward 7 City Councilor here in the City of Pittsfield. And full disclosure, my wife. And we are going to be talking about Ward 7 park and open resource issues today. There are three kind of big ones that are going on. And the first one we're going to lead off with in just a moment right after the weather is the Bel Air Dam removal. That's a big, big issue in Ward 7, the north side of Pittsfield. And that is going to affect a lot of residents there. Eventual, very big improvement to that area and getting rid of kind of a toxic old dam that could endanger a whole neighborhood. Those are kind of the stakes there with the Bel Air Dam. We're going to talk about that, and that is going to ramp up very, very shortly. So getting that information out here this morning for sure. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. High wind warning in effect until 4 p.m. EST this afternoon. Today, partly sunny and windy, cooler with highs in the lower 30s. West wind 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 60 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy and blustery, cold with lows in the mid-20s. West wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Gusts up to 45 miles per hour in the evening. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, and you probably felt those high winds last night. You probably got woken up a couple times. I know I did. A couple of big ones hit the house, and that is going to continue, it sounds like, through the day today and even ramp up a little later to those 45-mile-an-hour winds. So hold on to those hats. You're not going to need the umbrella, so you can leave that in the car for sure. The winds, we've had a lot of winds this year. It seems like I'm always talking about the wind here on the program. All right, welcome to the show here. We are on Morning Drive on Friday, March 7th, and Jim McGrath and Rhonda Sayre, welcome to both of you. Thanks for being here this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
All right. Well, it's good to have both of you here, and, you know, for, again, full disclosure, I think this is the first time I've actually interviewed my wife on the show.
It is.
This should be fun.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Jim.
I'm not feeling a third wheel here.
Yeah, no, there's this little rule in the house, you know, never the two shall meet.
But that's okay. Yeah. There are some very legitimate issues going on in Ward 7, and I have a little bit of a stake in that myself. I live in Ward 7 myself, as you know. There are some big things. The Bel Air Dam was kind of the issue that prompted this particular interview because I know, Jim, you and I have talked about it. I know Ricardo and I have talked about it, the Commissioner of Public Utilities, over the past, year and a half since it was announced. But now it's getting real, I guess, is what you could say.
It's getting real. Yeah, Sean, the Bel Air Dam is, of course, it's located on Upper Wacona Street. It's been an issue for the city for some time. You know, this is a dam that was built in the 1850s. Mm. It has not had any maintenance on it for years. Mm-hmm. The previous owner walked away, so the city just a few months ago took control of the dam and the parcels around the dam. Mm. And that was all part of the project to remove the dam and take care of all the contaminated sediment that's behind the dam. So yeah. I'm happy to chat about where we're at with this project. Yeah. It's a real important one.
Yeah, definitely. And Rhonda, just let's talk about what the city had to do in order to take that property, because that isn't usually taken lightly either, right? That's a full process for the city council.
And it wasn't necessarily easy because there was a probate involved. The original owner had passed. The estate had not made it all the way through probate in the timeline that we needed it to.
Was there a question about who owned some of that property?
Parcels of it. It's funny when you do deed reviews and stuff, when you're involved in the legal and you get people digging back through the deeds and the parcels and the legal paperwork from the 1800s, you realize, did we ever turn that over to them, or did they ever formally give us that? A lot of historic inspections and trying to dig and figure things out.
Yeah, from records being that old sometimes, and I was just talking to Joe Derwin yesterday, and he's a kind of a history buff and a big researcher, and he talks about houses and how, you know, the dates of construction of the original records that are kept on houses aren't always accurate. So when you're going back to 1850, there's going to be some discrepancies, right, about who owns what and where the lines are and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, what the city did was we took two parcels by eminent domain. One included the dam itself, and that was really required by the Commonwealth as part of this project. They said, we're not going to spend $20 million to remove this dam if it's not in municipal ownership. So it all worked out. We have control of the property. The project went out to bid and has been awarded. The contractor has been selected, and we're close to mobilizing out there.
And also fair to say that the funding for this project is majority, or if not all, state funding, right? Is that how this is being done?
It's funding that came to the Commonwealth through the ARPA, the American Rescue Plan project. And I give real props to former Mayor Tyer, who, when Governor Healey was first elected, she came to Pittsfield and said, what are your top priorities? Tell me what you tell me your wish list. And the mayor said, well, on the top of the list is this failing dam on Wakona Street. But you know what? That's really expensive. Let's talk about. So the governor took that back to her team. And, you know, in communications with the Office of Dam Safety, they said, yeah, governor, that is a real priority for the Commonwealth to remove that dam. So, you know, by the magic of how things happen in Boston, we saw an infusion of $20 million of federal ARPA funding toward this project.
And fair to say, right, that this project probably couldn't get done, or at least not on this timeline, as urgent as it is, simply with city money. There was just not, that was not going to be on the bingo card, right?
Yeah, $20 million is just, it would be a real struggle for us to be stuck between a high hazard dam and a price tag we can't afford.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Jim, tell me then, what makes this dam a high hazard dam? Because some people would say, well, it's been there since 1850. Why don't you just leave it there? It's been fine. It'll be fine going forward.
Yeah. The high hazard classification really has to do with what are the impacts downstream if this dam were to topple over during a rain event. Of course, the this is part of a stretch of river that cuts through, follows along Wakona Street, and cuts down over past Wakona Park and is proximate to the hospital. So, you know, there's a lot of homes and businesses along this stretch. So we understood all along that this was a dam that we needed to keep an eye on. And for years, we've been watching this dam. I've been working with emergency management of the city. And every time there's a rain event, we're looking out there. We're communicating with DCR. We really needed to understand what was happening with this, because if it goes, not only do we have a potential flooding event downstream, but we've got contaminated sediment coursing downstream as well. So this is one that sort of has all of the project pieces have come together at just the right time. And there's just a little bit of luck sprinkled in there as well.
Well, we want to keep that luck going, because anyone that drives by the dam, you know, during a big rain event, if you look over there, right, and I don't know, because I'm not an engineer and I don't know what I'm looking at when I look at a dam, but I see some of the water coming through where I don't think it should be coming through.
Yeah, that's water piping through the dam, and that's absolutely something you don't want to see. But that structure, it's not a solid concrete-faced structure like many dams are. This is sort of a block-laid dam. You know, it was built in the 1850s.
Is it stone?
It's stone. Yep. You know, it was built to last for sure. Mm. It's a very well constructed dam, but it hasn't received any maintenance over the years, and of course, all of the pressure of the sediment against the back of the dam isn't a good thing. Mm-hmm. So we're removing some of those hazardous conditions with the project.
Do we know what the original purpose of the dam was? It was a factory or a mill of some kind. Do we know what that is?
It was hydropower, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So for a mill of some kind? Or?
Yeah, there was a large mill complex on that site. Mm. Of course, the city, you know, the Industrial Revolution really saw, you know, really picked up in Pittsfield. There were a lot of dams built. Mm-hmm. And of course, the dams were, or these mills were all powered with hydropower. That's why they were situated right on these waterways.
Right. Prior to electricity, you had to have power for your mill.
At this particular location, it was a woolen mill. Okay. So I think there were iterations of manufacturing over the years, but it was established as a woolen mill, and as I understand, made woolen fabrics for various wars over time. You know, World War I and World War II. So you know, there's been a lot of there's a real story behind sort of that site, and part of what we're trying to do is not lose that. So. Trying to highlight the importance not only ecologically of this dam removal, but also understanding its context in the neighborhood and in the city.
Right. And so people understand why there's contamination. Contamination in Pittsfield, we're kind of used to hearing that story. It's not exactly a new story for us, right? But this isn't the same kind of contamination that we dealt with the GE property, right? This is something different.
Yeah, this is solid sediments. It's not PCBs. Mm. When they tested, they found absolutely no PCBs in it, so it's not that concerned. Mm-hmm. What was the exact
composition? Yeah, there's a whole another level. There's a whole list of
many.
I think I heard arsenic, for example, contaminants. or potentially lead.
Chromium. Mm. There's arsenic. There's lead. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of exceedances, but this is it's not, as they say, super hot sediment, but it does need to be handled in an appropriate way.
Mm. So these were things that were used in the process for that particular factory or whatever factory
came afterward. Could have been contaminants from the site itself, or probably more realistically, these have all been imported from upstream because there were a number of factories upstream as well. Those factories just south of Pontusic Lake along Upper North Street.
Right.
You know, of course, there's a lot of stormwater as well that imports through the stormwater system in the neighborhood and ends up in the water body in that area. So, you know, there's a guy that may be in his backyard changing the oil in the car and sort of dumps it into the storm drain. Mm-hmm. That would enter into the stormwater system and end up, you know, sort of settling behind the dam. So there's, you know, there's years and years of activity, industrial and otherwise, in our city that have contributed to the situation where we have it now.
And the sediment is so deep behind the dam. You would think that it's a deep pool, deep pond on the backside of the dam. It's not deep.
Yeah, it's shallow.
It's really filled with sediment. All of that has washed up. And it's amazing when you think about the structure itself, how stacked brick from 1850 can hold back all that wet soil. Mm-hmm. But it's doing it. Yeah. I mean...
So the real cost of the project is the removal of all of that large quantity of sediment, because you can imagine, you know, below the dam is something like 18 or 20 feet tall, and then you have this massive grade change. We have to remove sediment, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of feet north of the dam in order to make this sort of gradual new stream bed in the water course there. So there's a lot of contaminants or a lot of sediment coming out. That really is what's driving the price with this project.
We're talking about the Bel Air Dam Removal Project here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. My guest this morning, Jim McGrath, the City of Pittsfield's Park, Open Space, and Natural Resource Program Manager, and Rhonda Sayre, the Ward 7 City Councilor, the Bel Air Dam in Ward 7, as you may know. And it may be one of those things where if you don't know the city all that well, or if you haven't been to that neighborhood you're driving by, you may not even know that dam is there. You know, if you're in the neighborhood, certainly you know it, but it's very possible that it was something that you have overlooked, and it cannot be overlooked much longer. It is being taken. So let's talk about the timeline then on this, and we're talking about it today because it's imminent now, and that we're trying to get this information out to people in the neighborhood, and anyone who uses the roads around those neighborhoods too will be impacted in some ways. So let's talk about that timeline. When's it going to start?
So the project will kick off this spring. There will be some degree of mobilization and setup for the project. Folks will see that. There'll be a construction trailer brought in. There'll be some clearing of vegetation along Wakona Street. But really the heavy part of the project, the digging and sediment removal, really won't start until late June. One of the things we're trying to do is allow the school bus routes to remain uninterrupted, because there will be a traffic pattern change as a result of the project here. So there'll be some setup and mobilization. There may be some flagmen, some police detail you'll see on Wakona Street to control some of the access around the dam. But we won't see that Wakona Street one way traffic change happen until after school gets out.
Okay, and so people are clear. What is that one-way traffic pattern change that we're going to see probably in June?
All right, so it's going to start at the intersection of Wakona and North, the upper intersection of Wakona and North.
The northern intersection.
The northern intersection of Wakona and North. And it's going to be one-way going down to Pontusic Road.
Pontusic Ave.
I mean.
So when you're traveling southbound, and you're approaching the intersection of Wakona Street, just past Domino's Pizza,
right?
If you're trying to take that right onto Wakona Street, you won't be able
to. Which is for everybody in the neighborhood how we have to go right now because the Pex Road Bridge is closed. So the detour will be reversed and go back to the other way.
Yeah. Will there be some local traffic available right in that area, like to get to the Harley-Davidson and
that area? At about Mohawk Street is where you won't be able to continue southerly down Wakona Street.
Okay.
So if you want to, if your primary route has been to travel southerly down Wakona Street to get down toward the Berkshire Medical Center, for instance, you will need to stay on North Street past Reed Middle School and then take a right onto Pontusic Avenue, go down the hill to the intersection, and then you would take a left on Wakona Street there.
And it really is amazing. You just mentioned Berkshire Medical Center, and people think about the construction going on there as well, right? And so every little project affects everything else. If you change one thing, now you're changing the access to the front of Berkshire Medical Center is now done really from Wakona Street. So people will really have to think about exactly how they're going to get somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right. And that is one of the big considerations. We're seeing a lot of activity in Ward 7, which is wonderful. I am very happy that all these projects are moving forward, but we have to stagger them in such a way they don't impact each other. Like, Pontusic Ave. That bridge needs to go as well.
Right.
But they can't start that until after the dam is done, so that the detours from the dam don't get detoured, double detoured, and then triple detoured. Right. And now Pex Road will be done, so that detour will be over.
Yeah.
It's a real chess game that these guys play.
I guess I'm a resident. I live in that neighborhood as well. I live on Lenox Avenue. And I would much rather see construction happening and some inconvenience than not to see it, see these bridges and other relics of our past not attended to. So from a outsider, well, not really an outsider, I'm kind of an insider.
You're right there.
But it's important that we continue to address these, and often these are deferred maintenance issues, which we know are concerns all across the city.
And the state as well, by the way.
I think there's a renewed effort, certainly with this administration, to address deferred maintenance, because it ends up costing us more in the long run.
Yeah.
So
for example, the dam racked up to $20 million because we just kept ignoring it until it was out of completely out of hand.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a story that all cities and towns, I think, in Massachusetts deal with, is that a lot of times they have to defer maintenance because their budgets just won't sustain it. And then it gets to the point where, unfortunately, something has to be done, and then they deal with it. There's lots of bridges in southern Berkshire County right now that we're talking about as well. When I had Lee Davis on the program, a third Berkshire District representative, we were talking about some of the bridges and, you know, restoring the advanced bridge reconstruction legislation that had expired in the state. And that was something that was key to a lot of Berkshire County projects as well. And that's gone. So they've got to, you know, bring something back. Otherwise, you're going to have all these bridges and they have the same problem. Multiple bridges down at the same time, causing just not just inconvenience, but real, you know, medical emergencies, fire emergencies, things where, you know, the first responders can't get there in a certain amount of time. It's real issue.
Yeah,
you look at, you know, spending on, you know, discretionary funds on maintenance often isn't popular.
No, it's not. It's hard division.
It's hard to get taxpayers to come around to understand that, you know, this is important. This big expenditure, which isn't going to get us a lot. It's going to sort of be the unsexy stuff, but it's critically important. So there has to be sort of this shift in how things how we perceive things on a municipal level. And I know Mayor Marchetti really is sort of trying to grapple with that and help us all understand the importance of handling deferred maintenance.
Yeah. It's kind of like for a scenario to think of as individual, if you happen to be a property owner, you don't want to do the roof. You'd rather do the landscaping because the house really needs a pick-me-up from the outside. So you think, oh, well, it'll be easier to do the landscaping than to do the whole roof. Well, you're endangering yourself with the roof, not with the landscaping. So in a perfect world, we get both. But sometimes one has to come before the other, unfortunately. Yeah.
And in this particular situation, too, we're not only dealing with a potential imminent danger, and we're not trying to panic anybody by any means, right? Again, the dam has been there for a long time, and we don't see that it's going to be blown out tomorrow. But that safety issue is one thing. And then the next thing is sort of the overall health of the river, right? And maybe, Jim, you could talk to that a little bit, because that's something. There was a telelectric dam in another part of the Housatonic River that was removed a few years ago. And that was one of the things that was on your long-term list, right?
Yeah.
Something that you had worked toward getting taken down. And just talk about how that impacts sort of the entire ecosystem.
So one of the things that Pittsfield is known for is our contaminated Housatonic River. We have a, for better or for worse, we have a toxic legacy. Our rivers really were seeing the effects of that. But of course, working with General Electric and the EPA, we've really set on a path to clean our rivers and handle the contamination the legacy contamination. But we also have a number of these dams, like the Telelectric Dam. And again, the situations aren't any different than the situation we have over on Wakona Street. The Telelectric Dam was part of a mill complex. It was didn't receive a lot of maintenance because it wasn't needed.
Right.
There was a lot of contaminated sediment behind that one as well. So, you know, and these are projects that we can't do alone. These are projects that require assistance from the Commonwealth. So one of the things that I think I've been really good at is making these connections with our state partners and sounding the alarm and letting them know that this is important not only for the ecological health of the city, but also the economic health, because when we have a clean environment, it benefits all of us in so many different ways. So part of my job in sort of the lane that I run in Pittsfield is really not only to look at our park resources and the recreation opportunities, but also to look at the health of our community when it comes to our lakes and water bodies.
And Rhonda, maybe you could speak to how constituents are feeling about the project and what kind of feedback that you've gotten from people as the project is sort of about to kick off.
Everybody is, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you don't know exactly what's going to happen. And so there's a lot of, and especially if you're in a butter, what's this going to look like? What's going to happen over the summer? What is it going to do to my life? But at the same time, they're also grateful that it's being taken care of. And one of the things, like Jim was saying, about the health of our river and our legacy, Ward 7 was a very dense mill region. Mm-hmm. If you took a bird's eye view of Ward 7 and put in all the historic mills that have been up in this city, most of them are going to fall in Ward 7. Mm. We had a significant amount of mill work. We still have mill housing down on Peck's Road, remnants of it, reminders of it. Mm-hmm. And the idea that has come around, started to build in the 20th century, was the let our rivers be free. Restore them to their natural. Mm-hmm. Water is powerful, much more powerful than man. Don't mess with it. Let it go where it's supposed to go, because it's going to go everywhere if you don't. Mm. No, I have a lot of respect for anybody that studies hydroengineering.
That reminds me of what is the case up in North Adams, which is where, sure, I grew up. And there is Army Corps of Engineers flood chutes put in the early 1950s, mainly due to the disastrous floods that they had over the previous decade or 3 decades before that. And North Adams is just one of those areas where, you know, you've got the Hoosick River coming down, and it was just devastating. So what did they do? You know, post-war, they put in big concrete walls, and they walled the river in, and that did protect people. So it's, you know, it's a little of both, right? You want to keep people protected. You want to keep property protected. But at the same time, you want to let your ecosystem breathe and live. And those are tough priorities to have push and pull.
That's one of the things that I really like about the dam project that we have in front of us now, is the restoration half of it. It's going to be beautiful. Mm. It's restoring it to a stream, no longer a big muddy puddle or pond, if you want to call it. It's going to be accessible. The bridge isn't going back over it, but that's okay. Mm. It just, as far as the ecology of the area, it's going to go a long way to helping to restore that. And it's another step towards a healthy river system, which, as Jim pointed out, we desperately need to get back to.
Jim, what other impacts will this have downstream from this particular area of the dam? Will that, obviously we think it's going to be an improvement, but will there be some adjustments to be made to the rest of that river section immediately post-dam?
So the dam is going to come out. There's going to be a lot of sediment removal, and the stream course will be reshaped. There'll be some additional flood storage that's built into the project. Mm. So there won't be any additional flooding in the area or downstream. This is really, as much as it is an important project for the whole riverine system, it's really isolated. The impacts really are isolated right on the site. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to see a lot of change downstream, other than the fact that, the river is going to, we're going to see it more free flowing, a lot more sediment passing through. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be restored in a good way. Mm. I think what the neighbors will see, certainly during construction, they will see some. There'll be some impacts from the work, of course, that's happening. And one of the things that we're doing that is important to note, I know Rhonda's been a part of, is making certain that those that are proximate to the project site, those folks that live on Lenox Ave, or those folks that live in the neighborhood on the west side of Wacona Street.
Right.
That those folks are appropriately notified. So we have been trying to keep folks, the direct abutters, notified throughout the various stages of the project. But we're at a point now where we're preparing to do another notification blast. And of course, there'll
be. Does that consist of mail, or is that code red?
These are direct mailings, but we've also talked about code red.
Yeah.
And there will, I would imagine too, before the project starts, there'll be some signboards that would be put out. There'll be a social media push.
I would trust the website. From, Yeah, I got to tell you, this project has its own website.
Hmm. Yeah, we have a website that's been developed.
It's absolutely wonderful. It's got an FAQ section to it that, you know, if you have any question, it's probably addressed there. If it's not, email somebody involved with the project and it will be.
Yeah.
We're not relying on the website to be the only source, but it is nice to have a contained single source of all information for the project, and I really got to applaud the team for putting that together.
And that website will be updated, you know, every few weeks based on current conditions. And you know, we don't want people to feel like they're in the dark. If someone has a question, a concern, we want to hear from them. We hope that the way we've set this project up, that it's very transparent. And again, we're going to try to get in there, get this done as quickly as possible. We've got a great contractor on board who's already looking at some of the plans in a different way in order to do things more efficiently and quicker. Mm-hmm. So,
how long do we anticipate the project will be going on? Because if it starts this year, it's not going to finish this year.
This project really has been scheduled to be about an 18-month project.
Okay.
Our contractor is has done this before, these types of projects. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that they can help us reduce the timeline a little bit. Mm-hmm. But this is a year-plus project. So.
And one of the things that I think that really helps is this project is the lead project for a string of high-hazard dam projects that the state is going to be working on. So they're using us as the template on how to move forward. So there's going to be a lot of energy put into analyzing timelines, making things as efficient as possible, communications plans, how to put things forward to the community. Because once they do this with Pittsfield and perfect how they're going to do it, they will then roll this out, the same plan out for multiple other communities who will be going through the same thing.
Okay.
So it's nice that Pittsfield gets to be the one that shapes the policy around it.
Yeah, Massachusetts being an industrial history, there are plenty of dams to do. We're gonna take our top of the hour break here, but great conversation we're having about the Bel Air Dam removal. That's just off of Wacona Street in Pittsfield, if you're not familiar with the area. And we're speaking with Jim McGrath, the City of Pittsfield's Park, Open Space, and Natural Resource Program Manager, and Rhonda Sayre, the Ward 7 City Councilor. We're going to take that break right now, and we'll be back with more on this and a couple of other projects happening in the north part of Pittsfield, the Ward 7 area, in just a moment. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBRFM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you can show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Hi, I'm Hannah with Berkshire Business and Professional Women. We are an inclusive organization that empowers women in the Berkshires. Members represent various professional backgrounds with a common goal: to be our best selves. Whatever that journey looks like, BBPW is here to help with programming and professional development opportunities. Through our scholarship program, we support the aspirations of Berkshire women furthering their goals. To learn more about us, please visit berkshirebpw.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
You like hard rock and heavy metal music?
Oh, yeah!
Well, then join me here Friday nights from 8 to 10 for Wounded Radio. Every Friday night, I play 2 hours of the best music on the planet, from AC/DC to ZZ Top and everything in between.
This is gonna be cool.
Want to hear a song on Wounded Radio? Request it on the Wounded Radio Facebook page. And join me here Friday nights at 8 for Wounded Radio.
Yeah!
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and hearing us also on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Welcome to all of our listeners this morning. Going to continue the talk about some big projects going on in Ward 7 in Pittsfield with Jim McGrath, the City of Pittsfield's Park, Open Space, and Natural Resource Program Manager, and Rhonda Sayre, the Ward 7 City Councilor, in just a moment. First, let's go to the weather forecast one more time and see what we have in store from us from the National Weather Service. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. High wind warning in effect until 4 p.m. EST this afternoon. Today, partly sunny and windy. Cooler with highs in the lower 30s. West wind 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 60 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy and blustery. Cold with lows in the mid-20s. West wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Gusts up to 45 miles per hour in the evening. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
There you go. Short and sweet. Not much but wind going on today. And I am hearing, though, that there's going to be a warm-up midweek next week. We might actually hit the mid-50s and some sunshine. My goodness, what are we going to do with that? We will not know what to do with that. But it'll be here no matter what. It's March, so we don't know what we're going to get.
I've already started putting the chemicals in the hot tub and getting it ready. We will be in that hot tub.
How about it? Well. So we have a good show here, and let's just wrap up a couple more things on the Bel Air Dam before we move on to the other projects. There is a website, as we mentioned, and I don't think we gave that, so make sure that people have that information. What's the website if you want to check the progress and the status of the Bel Air Dam removal project?
So that project website is belairdamremoval.com.
Pretty simple. All right. Yep. So go to that, find out, and keep abreast of what's going on with that project, especially if you're in the neighborhood. Other impacts about detours and, you know, sort of impacts to neighborhoods. I know we sort of touched on that a little bit, but anyone in the Pex Road and Vin Hebert Boulevard area know what the impacts of a detour can be, especially a long-term detour when you have a constant flow of traffic that you know, your road is not quite used to, you're not used to. Suddenly there's an increased amount of traffic coming over and your road is kind of getting chewed up. What can we expect in the Bel Air Dam removal area?
I think in the last 8-10 months, we've learned a lot ever since the state came in and shut down that bridge unexpectedly and forced our hand on the detours. Unfortunately, Vin Hebert and many others on the north side of the detour as well. These roads are little neighborhood residential roads. Right. They aren't built up with curbing and they aren't built up with side edges. The edge of Vin Hebert has started to crumble and deteriorate and almost wash out because it's a huge hill right there. And so there's been, especially since this thaw and the water that we've had in the last few weeks, Vin Hebert's been through a lot. I got to give it to the residents there. They're putting up with a lot. And unfortunately, well, or fortunately, it's almost over. A few more weeks and you're out of it.
Yeah, progress on the Pex Road Bridge is moving at a pretty good clip now.
Yeah.
Obviously, some more weather delays and things like that that happened that were discouraging. But, you know, we did have kind of a tough winter in a lot of ways, too. So
there was
tough
a lot
to do construction.
There was a lot of water. A lot of water this winter, and as I mentioned in the previous section, water is not something that's easy to work with. But it should be done soon, and the bridge will be reopened, the detours will be over, and we can go about repairing any damage that was done to the roadways. So what I'm saying with that is we know that to pay more attention to this detour and thinking about what's going to be happening in Lenox Ave, Pontusic Road, in the whole neighborhood going up to it. And we had an hour phone call the other morning just about, you know, who's on Wilson Street, who's on where, what impacts are these going to have, when will what road will be okay versus what road will be impacted. And so we're spending a lot of time thinking about what it's going to be like to be a resident along the detour route and how it's going to impact them and what we can do ahead of time to make things less intrusive for them. So there is a council petition right now for a speed bump on Lenox Ave. I'm not sure. And I signed on to that. Absolutely. I signed on to it because I believe we definitely need to pay attention to what we're doing on Lenox Ave and let the people in Lenox Ave have some conversations about what they want to see done on their road. And see how exactly we're going to handle this detour and minimize its impact to the people that live adjacent to it.
And as we mentioned, notifications will be going out shortly about this also. People will be seeing that. Will they be mailers? I think we talked about that.
Yep, there'll be some direct mailers sent out to folks that are directly abutting and even a little further abutting the project site. And just one point of clarification, on Wacona Street, just north of the Wacona Heights complex, that's where the one-way will begin. So you'll only be able to go northbound on Wacona Street just after the Wacona Heights development on Wacona Street. Otherwise, the southerly lane again is taken out of service, and there will be a sidewalk or a safe pedestrian zone as well along as part of the detour and construction.
But all the driveways will still be accessible.
Actually, there are no drive north of Wacona Heights. There are no driveways. It's sort of that undeveloped stretch on the westerly side of Wacona Street there. So I think we've attended to this all. But if anyone has any questions about any of what we've talked about, reach out to City Hall and we will find your answers.
That's a very, very well thought out project. I'm really impressed on how well, not just the engineering and the river restoration, but the community impact has been. They've paid a lot of attention to it and thought a lot. Put a lot of thought into how to minimize our impacts to the community while we do this.
Well, sometimes we think about these things and they're very conceptual for a long time. And we think, okay, it's going to happen sometime in the future until the rubber hits the road. And suddenly now we're going to be talking about it seriously because you'll start to see those changes, those closures, you know, the construction vehicles coming in and such. So we're just keeping the folks, you know, informed on that. So go ahead.
And I was just going to say, like he mentioned in the first half, the detour isn't taking place until after school lets out so that we don't have to impact the way students are walking to the bus. We don't have to impact families' routines on how they handle their mornings. And the bus routes don't have to be changed. And so all of that will stay.
Yeah, at least for this school year.
For this school year.
Starting in September, there will be some minor changes, and that'll be well communicated by the bus operations folks in advance of the school year. So
they'll have some time to prepare for
and
that.
And we're also working with the BRTA, and we've reached out to the ambulance company, and so we're trying to understand who uses Wacona Street and how they'll be impacted.
Right. Yeah, so all that has been thought through. Response times of first responders, public transportation, pedestrian transportation, all of these have been thought through and planned around. It's a really well done project.
A lot of moving parts for sure in the Bel Air Dam removal, and stay tuned to this space. We'll try and get you some updates as well as that project moves forward. I'm sure we'll come back and talk more about that. So let's move on to Pontusic Lake Park. And this is something where anyone coming from the north of Pittsfield coming through are going to know where we're talking about there as we're coming around the lake. You see the big long green railing and fence, and then you start to make your way, kind of snake your way down toward Hancock Road, the light intersection there. And that's the area of Pontoosuc Lake Park. And that's going to see some major changes and improvements in the coming year, I believe. So, Jim, take us through that project.
In the coming weeks, actually.
Even better.
So Pontoosuc Lake Park, of course, is in sort of two parts. There's the section of the park along Hancock Road, which is the big hillside and all the pine trees. Mm. And then on the north side of the channel, there's a small section, you know, the Muscle Beach or the Blue Anchor. But it's all part of Pontoosuc Lake Park. And a few years ago, during COVID, we started a master planning project, and again, we were working with our state partners. We identified some state funding for the implementation of the first phase of the master plan, which is the section of park along Hancock Road. We have a contractor ready to go as soon as this weather warms up just a bit and the frost comes out of the ground. We will be hitting that project hard. The park will be closed. The parking lot will remain open because that's critical for the boat ramp and a lot of the access onto the lake from the boaters. So people are going to see a lot of activity over the next couple months in a big way.
What's a little of the history of that? Because I know I've seen some great historical photos of that was a very key recreational area for Pittsfield going back 100, 150 years as well, right?
Yeah, I didn't grow up in Pittsfield, but I've seen all the photographs and I've read all the stories.
Same here.
And,
there was a casino on, and casino, not how we call casino today, casino, a dance hall, essentially, at one point, where Pontoosuc, Proprietor's Lodge is, has always been like a club, waterside club. House, and then of course you have the Ponterrell Boathouse that is now
The Rusty Anchor.
Anchor.
And there was a public beach and stuff there too, right?
So, So Pontoosuc Lake Park has been a place where people in Pittsfield and frankly the region recreate. There's no better view in the Berkshires, I think, than from the south shore of Pontoosuc Lake, from within the park, looking over Pontoosuc Lake up toward Mount Greylock. It's stunning.
It really
is.
It really is just a wonderful place. And again, it's been that place where hardworking folks can go and cool off and enjoy a day at the lake. It doesn't cost anything. Our parks are always free and open to the community. And we just have a long history of recreating at that site. Mm-hmm. And over the years, there hasn't been a lot of improvements made to Pontoosuc Lake Park. So this was our opportunity, working with the community, developing this master plan, and then finding resources to implement it. So we're terribly excited to get this project underway.
So what were the main improvements that you identified were needed, necessary? I know there were some community meetings back and forth where you got some input from constituents. What did people want to see come back, and what then were you able to turn that into with the funding that you had?
So one of the things that we heard loud and clear is folks want to see better accessibility through the park. Even though the park is challenged because of its terrain and the hill and the slopes throughout the park, folks wanted us to try to increase the handicap accessibility opportunities. So we've done that. Mm-hmm. We've created new pathways throughout the park and a new walkway along the shoreline. We're calling that the Promenade Walkway. And that'll travel down to a point along the water where folks can sort of feel like they're over the top of the water.
Oh, nice.
It's it was really an important thing, not only at Pontoosuc Lake Park, but throughout our park system, making certain that when we say our parks are available for everyone and everyone plays, we want to really make certain that that's true. So we've spent a lot of time and effort looking at accessibility, and this park is no different. So new picnic tables, new accessible pathways,
new stairs.
new stair set. You know, one of the things
those stairs.
Yeah, and that old stair set. So when you pull into that upper parking lot on Hancock Road, of course, there's that old stair set that brought you down to the former beach area.
Right.
That former beach area is no longer an option to create a beach there. So we're restoring that to a wetland. There'll be a new boardwalk that'll travel across the top of that wetland to the edge of the water. You know, we also recognize that a lot of folks who come to Pontusic Lake Park really only pull in their car in that upper parking lot and take in the views.
Sure.
talked about those wonderful views. So we wanted to make certain that we're opening up those views a little bit and allowing folks that maybe want to, you know, just experience the park from the top of the slope a better way to do that. So little improvements around that as well.
It's funny. If you drive by the Hancock Road section of the park at lunch, it's packed. Everybody on their lunch break, the mailman, the UPS drivers, the oil delivery guys, everybody goes there to just take a deep breath, sit down, have their lunch, relax. It's and honestly, every time I go away and come back, it just takes my breath away every time I go by. It's we're so lucky to have it. But the restoration plan is important. A lot of people wanted a sandy beach again. I think it's important that we point out that environmentally, that was not the right thing to do in 1905 or whenever it was that we tried to force that to become a sandlot. And we did a lot of destruction, unfortunately. And this project will restore that and will provide an opportunity for people to still use the park and be in the park, but also allow the ecosystem to restructure and rebuild and the wetlands to come back and reclaim the land like it should have been all along. And then phase two will be the swimming part over on the upper North Street side. So phase one is a lot of, for those worried about the health of our rivers and lakes, it's going to be a significant improvement.
So with this park, we're not talking about changing the character of the thing. If anything, we're restoring some of the original character of this southern part of the park. Right?
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. There's not a lot of radical changes.
Like people would never want to see all those pine trees taken down, right?
Oh, no.
Could never do that.
But one of the things that we will be doing is you know, all those trees are the same age. You know, they were all planted at the same time. So we're seeing some dieback from some of them. So there'll be some selective tree removal and tree care happening. We just want to make certain folks are safe. And, you know, when one of those big pine trees goes down, boy, they go down with a in a magnificent way.
We can hear it at our house when they go down.
So the southerly end of the project we're getting into now is not a lot of radical changes. Those new changes will really be happening on the northerly portion.
Okay, yeah, so talk about that. What are we going to see there?
New sandy beach. That's really the the big... one of the things we know is that there's a long history of folks swimming at the park. But at the same time, we also have a boat ramp and a channel. There are lots of boating traffic in and out of there. And there's often a conflict between boaters and swimmers. And we don't want to see that. So we've tried to remove that conflict point. So we're proposing a new beach on the north side in sort of the vicinity of where that concrete wall is. There's a lot of folks that like to jump off the wall and swim in that area. We're going to be taking out a portion of the wall and creating a sandy beach over there in that area, doing a small little changing station. That's really where we want to direct families to that portion of the park. And we think it's going to work better. We're also trying to minimize the conflict between the motorized boaters and the non-motorized boaters.
Yeah,
there's a lot of folks that kayak. We're going to be directing folks who kayak to the north side with a new kayak launch. Handicap accessible kayak launch. So we're really trying to just improve the safety of the park as much as the recreation amenity.
I appreciate the kayak launch. I know many of us in our neighborhood that are lucky enough to have a kayak. We drag them around the neighborhood and find a piece of land to throw them over the edge and jump in. So it'll
is that conflict, right, between the boaters, the motorized, and the kayaks, and keeping at least the launch part of it safer would go a long way.
Yeah.
So one of the historical elements of Pontusic Lake Park was this U-shaped dock, which really provided a protected swimming area if you're on the interior of the U of the dock system.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're going to recreate that on the north side. Again, we're really trying to create the safest swimming opportunities as we can, and also, you know, recognizing that the history of the park is something that we heard a lot about during the design process. Folks really cherish the memories, cherish the, you know, how the park had developed over the years. And we wanted to bring back some of that. Yeah. We're not bringing back the diving horse. That was the diving horse was something
that's...
How about
horse.
A Ferris wheel? Can we get a Ferris wheel at least?
No.
There are certain elements, you know, and as we've researched the park, we really understood just how special this place is to folks in this community. So we're really trying to recreate those places where folks can make memories. Because at the end of the day, I really think that that's my role at City Hall. How do we create special places where families can make memories? And that's, if at the end of the day we can say we're doing a good job, then that makes me feel good.
Well, it's interesting how we've kind of swung back and forth from the industrial history of Pittsfield, but to now, and again, with your role as open space parks, recreation, you know, those are really the assets, the strength of a place like Pittsfield. In addition to being the industrial and commercial center of the Berkshires, it's a place where people can come to be outdoors and can reconnect with, you know, their surroundings. And this is also a very big attraction for people outside of the Berkshires to come here, right? I mean, economically speaking, it's a real angle for us.
Yeah, it's one of the most powerful economic drivers in Ward 7. It's definitely something that we need to respect and cherish and maintain. There are quite a few businesses that exist where they do solely because of the lake's proximity. And that's kind of this balance we have to keep between helping these businesses grow and maintain the economic security and at the same time protect the lake itself. And I think this project goes a long way to doing that. And I think also the dock systems that have been approved and are going in various places along the lake. It really, I think there's been a lot of thought and consideration of, you know, how do we balance especially motorized boat traffic and human interaction with the lake.
Well, and anytime you're making a change to something that involves water, as we know, that can be a delicate process, right? You have to run that all by Conservation Commission, and there are lots of rules and regulations, and I'm sure that that's been a process to navigate with this as well. Let's just, in the last couple minutes we have here, what's our timeline on Pontusic Lake Park? When is that starting, and how long do you think that'll
be? We'll see the contractors mobilize at the park in the next couple weeks.
Great.
The bulk of the work will be finished before the 4th of July, and it'll probably drift into July. We're going to be redoing the parking lots as well.
That's a
separate contract, and that'll be the very last thing we see there.
Okay.
So that's definitely this summer.
Yeah.
The park will be offline for the bulk of the summer. The boat ramp will remain open.
Okay. And then the north side eventually gets...
We've just started the design work for the north side, so...
Definitely not this year.
Not this year.
Yeah.
No.
Probably not even next year.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Good to know. And let's just hit really quickly Wakona Park, which is another big attraction in Ward 7 and part of the park's infrastructure, if you will, and a pretty major one at that. A lot of people are probably curious. I haven't heard very much in the last few months about what the progress is going on at Wakona Park, but fair to say, right, that the wheels are still turning somewhere?
Absolutely. So we're sort of closing in on the full design set, the construction set for the project. Next Thursday night, the project will be in front of the Conservation Commission because there's some significant work in the parking lot. So within the next couple months, we'll have all the permits, all the construction documents and details ready to go. And it's just a matter of sort of addressing the funding gap that we have. But let's not forget at the end of the day, I want to take us all sort of step back as we think about this resource that we have at Wacona Park. We are trying to develop something there, which is an anchor to our North Street, but also really respects the history of the strong history we have of baseball in the city. Mm-hmm. So it may take us a little while to get this project off the starting line, but it's absolutely something that I think we all need to understand is really critically important for our community and the future of our community. And there'll be some hard conversations going forward about the funding piece. But
I would say watch this space, because we'll be doing more shows on Wacona Park as some of those details roll out. I just want to say thank you both to Jim McGrath and Rhonda Sayer here this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here and keeping the community informed on these really, really important projects. BelairDamRemoval.com.
That's it.
All right.
Got to go to it.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Sean. Bill Sturgeon will be back with you on Monday for the next Morning Drive. Take care, everybody.